Who's the most famous fictional detective in history with unparalleled powers of observation and deduction? The answer is elementary. Sherlock Holmes, of course, who we seem to love as much now as we did a century ago when he first prowled the streets of London solving mystery after mystery. The Savvy Traveler's own super sleuth, Martin Stott, donned his deerstalker hat and went on the trail of the great man.
Dr. Watson once described London as that great cesspool into which all the loungers and idlers of the empire are irresistibly drained. So he wasn't a travel agent. That was 1887. Today, there's a better class of idler in London. We call tourists. But some things are still the same. Follow me. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Langham, London's first grand hotel, opened in 1865. This is where Arthur Conan Doyle first met his publisher, and the Langham features in several of his Sherlock Holmes stories. We're staying here in the Conan Doyle suite, in five-star style. Marble-floored toilets, his and hers, a parlour where you can enjoy your full English breakfast in private, and the bedroom. They're running a special package here, and I mean special, from the moment you land in London, as the hotel's Ruth Jacobs explains.
You can be picked up at any London station or airport as far out as Luton or Stansted, Gatwick. When you get to the hotel, you're checked in at a special desk. You're taken up to your suite where the valet will unpack for you. Because this is London, you will find in the wardrobe a huge golfing umbrella, so at least you don't have to stay indoors when it rains, as it sometimes does in London.
Now, come on, you better break to us the news of how much it's going to cost.
Well, for all of that, getting close to $1,000, I guess.
That's $1,000 a night. But the best things in life are free. For $1,000, you get a free minibar, free chocolates, and free champagne. From the Langham, it's a 15-minute walk to Baker Street, where, of course, Holmes and Watson lived. 221B is actually a bank, but if you're cheeky, you can ask to meet Mr. Holmes's secretary, Mark Maguire. The resemblance to the St. Louis baseball slugger, by the way, is in name only. Maguire is the guy who collects Sherlock Holmes's mail. He says he gets hundreds of letters a year from around the world.
There's some quite unusual letters which request Sherlock Holmes's services, such as, my cat has gone missing and can you help me find her? I do think some people do actually believe Sherlock Holmes wasn't a fictional character but existed.
A couple of doors down, there's a fascinating Sherlock Holmes memorabilia shop. Britain's biggest seller of hats and pipes. The owner is Marcel.
Find me a deerstalker. Let's have a look and see what it looks like.
First of all, we've got to find your size. You don't worry about the colour at all. We try them on until we find a size which is suitable for you.
All right, here we go. We've got one now. It's not very becoming, is it?
It's amazing. Now, they look absolutely fabulous and you think, I've got to have one, or you take it off straight away.
I'm afraid this was a take-it-off-straight-away job. Let's get on to our next destination. Charing Cross Station, from where Holmes and Watson set off to Dartmoor on their greatest adventure.
What's that? Where's it coming from?
There.
No, there.
The hound.
Come on, Watson, quick.
The Hound of the Baskervilles. Charing Cross is one of several majestic Victorian railway stations in London. Well worth a visit. Next, let's dodge the yucky mucky pigeons at Trafalgar Square and head to the Sherlock Holmes pub nearby for lunch. Here, they've recreated with the help of the Conan Doyle family Sherlock Holmes's study. The manager, Kevin McIntyre, showed me round.
There's the bust of Sherlock Holmes, which in one of his stories, he always puts by the window and hangs his coat on when he comes in the room. And it's got a bullet hole in it, because one of the stories is where Moriarty was trying to shoot him from the opposite house, and he thought it was Sherlock Holmes, but it was actually the bust. There's his violins about the place, and his pipes, obviously.
Just about everything a Holmes's furnished apartment should have.
After lunch, we'll stroll up to Tottenham Court Road, where Holmes bought his Stradivarius violin. We're aiming for Murder One, a detective bookshop. Conan Doyle wrote the last of his 60 Sherlock Holmes stories in 1927. But the adventures didn't end there, as Maxim Jakubowski, the shop owner, explains. Since Doyle's death, around 100 others have taken up his pen, writing Sherlock Holmes stories.
Or stories about Sherlock Holmes' relatives, or characters who appear in the Conan Doyle canon. I would estimate that every year there are about 15 to 20 new novels featuring Sherlock Holmes which appear either in the UK or the USA.
Maxim reckons there are at least 8,000 Sherlock Holmes books, or books about him, and he's got quite a few. If you've the energy, you can go on to St. Bart's Hospital, where Holmes and Watson met, and to the Lyceum Theatre, which we learn about in The Sign of Four. But let's finish for today at Covent Garden Market, focal point for the Blue Carbuncle, the mystery of a huge precious stone hidden in a goose. You won't get a goose here today, but you will get a nice cup of tea while you listen to the street musicians. This is Martin Stott, reporting from Victorian London on the trail of Sherlock Holmes and the Savvy Traveller.